Guys, why don't you give a big hand for all the people that God touched and blessed and people that were water baptized in 2017. We believe that 2018, there are even greater things that God wants to do in the lives of people in 2018. Do you guys believe that? Okay, about 18 of you do. Praise God for 18 of you. Happy New Year, everybody. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel Community Church. I've got a couple of announcements for you before we get going in our message today. If you've got a cell phone, smartphone, we'd love for you to bring it out right now. Normally, most people tell you to put it away. We want you to bring it out. You can use it for your notes throughout the course of the message today. But we would also encourage you to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram or Twitter. But also, we would love for you to review us. If you're a first-time guest or maybe you've been here for a long time and you've never reviewed us on Facebook, we would love for you to do that. Many people this week are starting to look at church again. A lot of people like to start things at the beginning of the year. A lot of people like to go to work out at the beginning of the year, right? And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be looking around at things like our Facebook page. And they're going to be seeing what you think about a church like this. So we would love for you to take a few moments to do that as well. We have a new series that we are beginning, a series of messages that we are beginning the year off. So you picked a great Sunday to come to church. It's called Goals, or as we like to say, hashtag goals. And this series is going to be a series that may challenge some of the goals that you may have for your life. Just to let you know, you might get divinely interrupted in the course of the message today. And I hate interruptions. Anybody hate to be interrupted? My kids love to interrupt my life, bless their hearts. Sometimes I'll be in the middle of a great game, like the Tennessee game or something like that, and then they want to get right in your face. And interruptions test my patience. But sometimes there are things called divine interruptions. And this is where God is trying to get your attention. And it may be that you have a charted course for your life or for your week or for your year. And then all of a sudden, God comes knocking on the door. And the question for today is, will you let him in? If God starts speaking to you, as I spit on Pastor Lance and his entire beautiful family, will you listen when God begins to talk to you? If you've got your Bible or you could even use your phone, you could turn to the book of Philippians. We're going to be in the book of Philippians today, and we're going to take a look in the beginning at chapter 3, the book of Philippians. Starting at verse 12, and we'll read to verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Most people think from a Roman jail. He's in prison writing letters to encourage a church. And this is the letter he wrote to the Philippians. And it says, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus, who made me his own, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead." That's going to be very important for us today. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead of us. In verse 14, it says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Father, I thank you today as we begin this new series about goals, these priorities that we call goals that many of us have set in place for our year or for our life. God, we pray that you would divinely interrupt us. You would get our attention today, regardless of our previous accomplishments or our current chartered course for our life. We pray for godly goals and do what it takes to get our attention today, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. So we are calling this series hashtag goals. If you would look on a Facebook or a social media account and you type in hashtag goals, you will see all of the things that everybody this year wants to do. If you were to do that, you would see things like people saying, this year I'm going to work out and eat right like never before, hashtag goals. This year is going to be the best year ever because I'm going to put, you know, my wife or my husband first, hashtag goals. I'm not going to scream at my kids as much in 2018, hashtag goals. How many of you wish you, God help me with my temper? All of these things we begin to look at, we call them resolutions. All these promises that we make to ourselves and we tell our hundreds and hundreds of acquaintances on social media. Well, our goal throughout the series is that you would take careful note of what your goals are. Because it could just be, and we'll get to it in a little bit, that the goals that you have set in place for your life, they could be the wrong goal. It is possible, as perfect as all of you guys look, that you may have set on a course in the wrong direction, seeking out the wrong goal. Look at the person next to you and say, oh my. It could be today that you find out that some of your goals might just in fact be the wrong goal. So what is a goal? What is our working definition of a goal? A goal is simply something you desire and are trying to achieve, something in which effort and energy is directed in order to obtain it. A goal is something that we feel is worth the effort. Something we feel is worth the energy that we put into it. Now, the problem with goals is we don't always meet our goals. Anybody ever fail at a goal before? Something you really wanted to do and achieve and it just didn't happen? Well, when we fail to achieve a goal, a couple of things happen. Number one, we feel that the goal may have not been worth the effort at all. There are people that are married and they got in the course and they didn't know what they really signed up for, and they along the way start to think that maybe this was not worth the effort, and some people give up. Or something else happens when we begin to fail to achieve a goal. We try again until we obtain it. And maybe you've given up on some goals before, but also maybe you have spent huge chunks of your life, years, decades, trying to obtain a goal that was the wrong goal in the very beginning. I believe today that God may challenge you to take a look at your desires, the things that you put energy and time into, to really see if they are the right goals that God wants for your life. And how do you know if you had the right goals? Many people in this room right now may be working hard and chasing after goals that will never give you the fulfillment, never give you the joy that the goal itself may have seemed to promise you if you had achieved it. And we know that we have the wrong goals when they are goals that are temporary and unfailing. And some of these goals look really good. Some of the goals that we have in life, these are goals that are noble, they're popular, they're traditional. Some of the goals, I've talked to many married couples, and some of the goals that they have is, our goal for our marriage is we want to grow old holding hands on the rocking chair, passing our glass of teeth to each other. Right? How many of you have goals like that if you're married? You want to rock back and forth, get old and decrepit together, praise God. Ride on in, and just like that movie, your heart stops and his heart stops, and then y'all just go to God together at the same exact time. Do y'all remember that movie, Pastor? That's Pastor Lance's favorite movie. Damn, you know, that's The Notebook. They just slip on into glory at the same time. Some of us have goals like that. Some of us have financial goals. I want to have $1 million by the time I'm 60. Some of you, those are the goals. You have financial goals. And so you do everything in your life to get to these goals. We're not going to buy the best peanut butter. We're going to buy the cheap peanut butter. We're not going to get the new car. We're going to get the beater car. We're going to do it Dave Ramsey style. We're going to be acting like we're broke as a joke, and then we're going to get to that goal. Everybody in the house, unhappy. Everybody hates you in the house. Never go to movies. always getting the clothes at Goodwill. Why can't we go to Dillard's? We can't go to Dillard's. We got to get the goal. And some of us have goals at work. And some of you guys, you're in the military. Your goal is that when you retire, you want to get whatever it is, blankety blank. You want to get this. You want to retire with distinction, with honor, with the rank. You want to be able to say that after all of my years, all of my sacrifice, I have achieved this. Now, the problem with some of these goals, all of those goals are noble. All of those goals are popular. Those are historical goals. That's what many people would say is the American dream, to be able to have all of that. But to be honest, those goals have attached to them an unspoken promise. If I achieve this, this is going to make my life happy and lasting, and I won't lack anything if I can reach this goal. Now, how many of you know that's what the unspoken thought is behind goals like that? If I could really get to reach my goal, then everything would be great. And the secret truth of all of that is that many of the goals that we have set, as noble as they are, and please don't take this the wrong way, there's nothing wrong with trying to get a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with being old in the rocking chair, holding hands with your spouse. There's nothing wrong with having your kids go to the best schools. There's nothing wrong with that. But, everybody say but. Look at the person beside you and say but. Okay, look at the other person and say but. Now say but. Just because that was fun. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you think that achieving that goal is going to be the apex, the highest point of your life to bring you lasting, stable joy and contentment, you are absolutely wrong. Now, I am a person who hates to be told that what I'm doing is wrong. Anybody with me? But sometimes when we look in the Word of God, it's like someone gets in our face and says, what you've been working for, you know I'm coming over to you. What you've been working for, what you've been striving for, your goals are wrong. That hurts, doesn't it? It hurts, number one, we get angry at the person who does it to us because we don't like to be corrected. The other thing is we don't like to feel like everything that we've been working for is wrong. But today, by the Spirit of God, He may divinely interrupt some of your goals. My little prayer is that you don't run out of here screaming, but that you say, come on, God, if I'm wrong, correct me. If I'm wrong, bring on some truth. You guys with me? Everybody say amen. So what do we do when we finally realize that what we have been chasing after is the wrong thing? There's this word that I have fallen in love with. It's this word called recalibrate. Recalibrate. Did you know that it is possible for us to recalibrate our goals? And by doing so, it's possible, if you've been lacking in faith or maybe your passion for God, that you can reignite your faith. You can reengage your passion for God by adjusting, revamping, modifying, transforming, and reconstructing all syllables, or synonyms for recalibrating. It's simply a way of realizing that something has gone off track. Something has gotten out of whack, and it needs some fine tuning. It needs some adjustment. It's not that the goals that you may have are wrong, but the motivation behind them might be very wrong. Let me say it over here because nobody was shaking their head. It doesn't mean that your goals are wrong, but it means that maybe the motivation behind your goals is wrong, got off track. Does that make sense? So let's take a deeper look at Philippians chapter 3 just for a second. This is a guy named the Apostle Paul. His name's Paul. His first name's not the Apostle. That'd be kind of weird. But we call him the Apostle Paul. And he is writing and he's telling us that he's not perfect. He doesn't have it all together. But what he is saying is that he has achieved some things in life that are notable in this book. And we're going to take a look at this. This is from a man that achieved so many things that many of us could say he's on top of his game. If he had a hashtag for his life, it would say hashtag winning. I mean, he was doing everything that the world told him that he lived in that he should be doing. So let's take a look at this. This is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4 through 8. And again, he's writing this from a jail cell. And he says, though I also might have confidence in my flesh, if anyone else thinks they may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Basically, things, if you think that you're that bad, check me out. The Apostle Paul is about to give us his resume. Now, you know somebody is bad when they take up space in the Bible. And they just, I can imagine, he just slaps it on the table like dominoes. Check this out. He's about to give you his accolades. See, when you write your resume, you put the best things you've ever done on a piece of paper. And it's designed to impress the people who look at it. This is his resume. And it says, starting at verse 5, sounds kind of weird for us, but we'll explain this. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. Now, you don't see men in the locker room circumcised eighth day. All y'all 10th and 12th day dudes ain't got nothing on me. But he was living up to the letter of the law. He says, I'm from the stock of Israel. He says that I'm from the tribe of Benjamin. It's all about the Benjamins. What? You like, remember that, Pastor Lance? He says, I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. Basically say, all of you guys who are Jewish, I'm even more so. If there was someone who was an example of what to be, that is me. That's what he's saying right there. He says, concerning the law, I'm a Pharisee. Now, that doesn't mean too much to us. But a Pharisee was the highest order of the religious leaders back in the day. These guys went to school and they memorized the Old Testament. Now, how many of you guys have done that? Think about how painstakingly horrible it would be to sit in class like for years. I mean, he memorized the Old Testament. This dude was bad to the bone. And he's giving down his resume and he's saying, concerning zeal, you thought you were excited about God. You thought you were passionate about God. I persecute the church. Now you think this was when the church were a bunch of rabble rousers. They were like the rebellion in Star Wars. They were a group of people who disrupted the religious order of the time. And he took great pride, just like the rest of them. They said they wanted to get rid of these followers of Christ. He said, I am a persecutor of the church. He says, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, said, I am blameless. Essentially, if you thought perfection could come, look at me. All of this. This is his resume. And this is what he spent huge chunks, probably decades of his life to achieve. To be able to get to this point in his life. You're probably thinking about people at your job or people that you know that have spent huge amounts of time of their life to attain a single goal. The Apostle Paul says, I have attained all of this. And he goes on to say, but what things in verse 7 were gain to me? I have counted loss for Christ. He says, essentially, all of that stuff my career in being a religious expert, my education, my accolades, my credentials, my achievements, my awards, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things. Everybody say all things. I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. In other words, all that stuff I just talked about, that's garbage compared to me knowing and experiencing Jesus Christ. He said, I count them all as rubbish that I may gain Christ. See, the Apostle Paul, he saw something in Christ that made him realize that all of the goals that he had set for his life, they didn't really amount to anything into themselves. Other than his relationship that he had developed with Jesus Christ, all that other stuff was unimportant. God used it to maybe get where he is, but that was not where his peace came from. That was not where his joy came from. Basically, he was saying, if anyone had a reason to brag, it would have been me. I'll have done it all, but he found it all pointless. In other words, he says, my goals were wrong. And it was when he encountered Jesus, he had a fresh starting point. He had a fresh starting point. We have this little saying here at Bethel that your journey begins at starting point. The Apostle Paul had been on a journey, but the journey had the wrong destination. The journey had the wrong goal. But it was when he encountered Christ that his journey had a new beginning. His starting point was discovering who Jesus was. He thought he knew who Jesus was. That's why he was going to kill the followers of Christ. He thought he knew who Jesus was, but all he did was hear about Jesus. He heard other people talk about Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus for himself. So my question for you today, do you know Jesus? Is the starting point and ending point of all of your goals, is it a relationship with Christ to please him, to bring him glory? Because the pursuit of that, that brings lasting joy. It brings you peace when your world looks like a hurricane. And somebody say amen. Unbeknownst to you, Jesus brought you here today to change some of your goals. He has a funny way of doing that. And one of the ways that he does that, the Apostle Paul kind of gives us a small formula. How do we rearrange? How do we recalibrate our lives? And he says it back over in verse 13. He says, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Most of us are still holding on to things that weigh us down. Maybe a past relationship, a past failure, a past opportunity that maybe never came or materialized. As long as we are holding on to that past, maybe some past mistakes, we're never going to be able to reach forward. And what God wants us to do is to let go of those things that are behind us, as great or as horrible as they are. The Apostle Paul says, I did all of this great stuff, but it didn't accomplish anything in my own soul. And so I'm letting it go and I'm pressing forward to the goals that are in front of me. See, the starting point for Paul was Jesus. You know, I've got a quick story that I want to tell you as I'm about to close. It's a very personal story to me. Many of you guys know that I had a brother who died 6 years ago. He was 39 years old, same age I am now, Pastor Lance. And we grew up together. He was 7 years older than me. And as we grew up, he had one huge goal in his life. I mean, this was the goal that pretty much defined him as a person. And when we were around, when I was around 6 years old, 7 years old, all he loved to do was watch television. And he would always watch these judge shows on TV. He would watch The People's Court as he got older. He would watch Judge Judy. He would watch all of these shows. And he would even, after work, he would DVR these shows and watch them when he came home. And he always was fascinated by the law. And when he was a young man, around the age of 12 or 13 years old, he decided that his main goal in life was that he was going to be a lawyer. He was going to be an attorney. And he was going to spend his effort, his energy, his money, his time into becoming an attorney. And as he got older in high school, he defined the dream even more. And he actually upped the ante on his dream. And not only did he want to be an attorney and go to law school, but he wanted to go to Vanderbilt Law School. Now, we're just country folk. I mean, I look like this, but I'm just a country boy at heart. We come from a very small town. We didn't have a lot of money. So the idea of going to Vanderbilt, it's equivalent to many of you guys like saying, I'm going to go to Harvard. And the thing about it is he put all of his attention, all of his time, and I'm going to share 2 days of his life with you. I want to show the picture of the day he graduated. The day that my brother graduated from law school at Vanderbilt University. Now, take a look at this. Now, the guy on the left, he's not an angel. That's my daddy. He kind of looks like a pimp, doesn't he? He's smooth. Now, the guy on the right, that's me. That's before Christ. I was a prodigal. I was a rogue. The guy in the middle, that's who we're talking about. That's my brother, Robin. Smartest guy I have ever met in my life. And I wanted to show you something. This is a degree from Vanderbilt University. It's a degree from the Vanderbilt School of Law. This piece of paper is worth, in current dollars, about $164,000. This piece of paper. Like all of you have parents who are in high school, I mean, this would be your dream. You want them to go there. This was that one of the happiest days in my dad's life. He was grinning like a mule eating fresh hay. He was happier than a Titans fan last night. And this was my brother's goal. And this morning, I got it out of my garage and I had to wipe the dust off of it. Everything that he wanted. Now, he became a lawyer, an attorney. He was actually an assistant attorney general for the state of Tennessee for about 10 years before he died. But this means nothing today. This means nothing but the paper that's printed on it today. I want to share another day in his life. There was a point in his life where he thought that was the climax of life. If he could attain to that goal, it would bring him joy and satisfaction. It would bring him peace. It guaranteed success. If you got a piece of paper like that with your name on it, most people would say instant success. You are definitely going to get six-figure income with that paper. It will open doors for you that other pieces of paper like that can't open. But it didn't bring him what he thought it would. Many people have goals like this, and maybe going to Vanderbilt Law School is not your goal. But you've got a goal on something else. And the thing about this goal is it did not achieve. It had a secret promise that if you get to this, everything else is going to be perfect. If you can just get to that thing, everything else is going to be great. It promised everything, but it could not deliver it. But the second day I want to share you about in my brother's life was the day that he got baptized. This was years later. This is my brother. That's me hugging him. Pastor Ron right there beside us. This was an amazing day. This was years after he had graduated from Vanderbilt School of Law. I remember this day extremely clear because it was the day that my nephew was getting baptized. My brother had no plans to get baptized. I didn't know where my brother was in his relationship with God. We had conversations about God, but he was the kind of guy that was so intellectual. One of his questions would just confuse you, and he would get out of the conversation. But something happened as we explained who Jesus is. As we explained the simplicity of the gospel, that Jesus Christ died on a cross for his sins, and that he could be forgiven. He could have peace with God. He could have a relationship with God. And that in eternity, he could be with him forever. Vanderbilt Law School didn't promise that. He saw something in Jesus that sparked a change. The starting point for my brother and his faith was he saw Jesus the same way the Apostle Paul saw Jesus. He saw him as being the greatest goal, more valuable, more important than anything else this world has to offer. And as he realized that, it was the funniest thing that happened. He walked up to Pastor Ron. And my brother, he's not very religious. He didn't know what to say. He said, "You got time to save another soul?" You remember that, Pastor Ron? And he said, "I don't, but Jesus does." And my brother, now he didn't wear the traditional baptism attire. He didn't know that that was the day that it would just click. And he would realize that all of his goals made no sense if it didn't have something eternal, if something everlasting, if something could give him joy and peace. And the moment that he realized that, he said, "I need to get right with God. And I don't care if I got all my clothes on." He didn't care if he looked like a fool. He didn't care that he was a Vanderbilt Law School graduate. And the simplicity of the gospel seemed foolish to the world. This is a man who had a higher IQ than I can think of. But the simplicity of the gospel so revolutionized him in that moment. He ran up and we water baptized him. The other thing that started the change, you see me and my brother hugging each other. We did not do that. See, my dad, he was from that generation. We don't hug our kids. We don't tell our kids we love them. That would make them weak and soft. And so as a result, me and my brother, we grew up, we didn't hug each other. Felt weird. You ever hug somebody and just felt weird? That was us. But something transformed, not only in him, but in me as well. And I'm telling you this story today because some of your goals, as noble as they may be, the motivation behind them may be wrong. My advice to you this year in 2018, set your goals in the right place. For some of you, that's giving your life to Jesus, just like my brother did. For some of you, it's simply as, "I just need to go to church every Sunday. I put energy and time into everything else, my kids' football games, my kids' soccer games, this extra work opportunity, this thing, the ball game." All of these things are not bad. But sometimes we need to recalibrate our goals, adjust things, things that honor God, things that put Him first, things that give Him glory and give Him honor, and make Him the first in our life. Yes. Maybe that's you. It's a great day, first Sunday of the year. Many people are trying to do the right thing at the beginning of the year. Maybe your declaration, maybe your goal, your hashtag goal for this year is put God first. And my time, my money, my energy, my family, anything that God has given me. Because I can guarantee you, one day, It will not matter. One day it won't matter. But putting God first, making your goals centering around Him, that will have an everlasting benefit for you, and your kids will watch you grow up. And it will give them a foundation to put Him first as well. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much for today.